Welcome into the Pirate Football Playback, presented by L&K Custom Homes. Our good friend Kevin Walker, thank you, sir, for the sponsorship of this great show. And what a big night yesterday for the Pirates! A great Saturday as the Pirates win 45-3. By the way, guys, the biggest victory margin of victory in the American for the Pirates. I think the previous one reading this afternoon was 38 points. So the Pirates get 42 points. The most important thing is Pirates one more step closer to literally a bowl game. One more step is all we need to go climb that ladder. With us right now, Kyle from the Grange. Barber, how are you, sir?
What's going on, Dave? Yeah, one more step to go. I've got headphones on, guys, so I'm hearing myself talk and it's getting on my doggone nerves. But anyway, sometimes the last step is the hardest one to take. But I hope we get there, man. These last three games are tough. Memphis on the road, Navy on the road, Cincinnati at home. But I think right now we're playing good enough football to beat anybody in the conference, particularly on the defensive side. So let's do it.
No doubt. Bubba Rosenbaum is kind of like when we had the Purple Gold World Series this weekend. Getting that third out is the hardest one. But certainly with this particular case, we only need one more.
Yeah, unfortunately, I was unable to check out any of the Purple Gold World Series. Got a little bit of a later start. But the main thing, I got there plenty of time for the football game. And man, did the Pirates have a complete effort from start to finish? The offense did get off to a little bit of a slow start the first two drives, but after that, they really woke up and ran the ball well. Some nice plays through the air as well, as I know we'll talk about, really involving the tight ends. Huge day for Ryan Jones, going over 100 yards, a couple of touchdowns, nearly had a third, and then also one for Shane Calhoun.
No doubt about it. With us right now, former linebacker from ECU under the Logan era, Matt Semenza. Matt, how do you like that score? We were, you know, I thought about you 6 minutes and 57 seconds left in the fourth quarter. So close to getting a shutout. We were halfway, three and a half quarters. We made it. But, hey, we'll take the 45-3, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. We took care of business yesterday. You know, like this was one of those games where we were a big favorite at home, 15, 16-point favorite. And we took care of business. We did what we needed to do against a down-tempo team. But, you know, it's one thing to just, when you play a team like that, to come out with a win. We put our foot on their throat and really, really took care of business and hammered it at home and left no doubt. And that was great to see. So very happy with the win, guys.
No doubt, Kyle. I tell you what, I was really excited because – with this now, we've talked about this. This series with Temple, they'd owned us, and I know Bubba and was like, oh, you know, this is one of those games that's kind of become like a, and to me, an American rivalry because in the conference because they've had our number. Another one is Navy. We've got that coming up a couple weeks, but of course, Memphis is next week. But this, look, guys, another thing I was looking at standings today. The great thing about it is, Kyle, this is a what we're doing now is we're taking care of business of the teams we should beat, where before we would struggle or lose to them. We're beating those teams that are behind us now, and we're fighting with the teams that are top of the conference.
Yeah, last year beat Temple, so to beat them 2 years in a row, kind of try to get the series evened up. I know we had success against Temple back in the independent days, so it's good to win two in a row. Temple's program appears to be heading in the wrong direction. They were awful yesterday. Better at the beginning of the year. You know, they beat Memphis, who Memphis is very Jekyll and Hyde. I'm looking ahead a little bit, but they played great at home. Wins over SMU this past weekend, top 25 team at home, and they also beat Mississippi State at home, but they've gone on the road and lost to that same Temple team we demolished yesterday and Tulsa on the road. So I kind of wish we got Memphis and Greenville, but nonetheless, Temple's bad. They have really fallen apart as the season's going on. They have no direction. They have no, well, they have a lot of injuries and no direction on offense. I, I have no idea what the hell their offense is trying to do. Whatever it's trying to do in NCC.
They don't either. They don't as well. Matt, the talk about from your perspective, being a defensive guy, I mean, one of the things that came up for me last night, guys, and not to be negative here, not because of not the play. Let me make that very clear. Not the defensive play, but something that's been already mentioned on the show, and I can't remember who said it, but I tell you one thing. If I am Mike Houston, I'm going to do everything I can to give Blake Harrell more money next year, because there's going to be a lot of phone. It may have been you, Matt, that said that, but it's going to be a lot of phone calls for that guy. I mean, this is the best defense I've seen in a good while.
Yeah, what he's done here is very, very impressive. In a short period of time, to be able to come in here and, hey, let's be honest, we haven't been known for our great defenses over the last decade. So what I really like is, first of all, I think he's a great coach. He has a good feel for the game. He adjusts really well. But I really like the scheme. I think the scheme fits East Carolina. It's an aggressive attacking scheme as opposed to a more read and react, a lot of zone coverage on the back end. I really like what he does. He's aggressive. He brings pressure. So I think it's a perfect fit. I am a little nervous, honestly, that if another like an SEC school sees the success he's having here, he might get scooped up. I think maybe we're still a year away on that. But honestly, if you look at what he's done in the last six quarters, we've given up 3 points. And over the last eight quarters, I want to say even USF, you guys tell me if I'm wrong, they scored on short fields off of turnovers. When was the last time an offense actually drove down the field and scored a touchdown on us? It's been a while. It's been like three games.
A long sustained drive. I don't even know that Houston did it because we had turnovers against them.
Yeah,
they might have had two. One.
Yeah, I think it's Houston.
It's been a minute. Right, I'll tell you something.
Touchdown ahead.
You talking about Blake Harrell? Shout out to Valdosta State's head coach. He hired Blake Harrell to replace the defensive coordinator that left and went in the Navy, who's done a nice job at Navy. And now we hired Blake Harrell after, you know, from that guy. And now he's doing a great job here. I believe they still have one of the best defenses in the FCS. So if Blake leaves, I might just go down to Valdosta again.
Kennesaw State.
Kennesaw. What am I talking about? Kennesaw State. Valdosta State's not even FCS. Kennesaw State. It's a city in Georgia, Bubba. Yeah, Kennesaw State is who I'm referring to. But how about that dude? That guy, he does a hell of a job hiring defensive coordinators. Two of his former defensive coordinators are now in the American and having a lot of success.
And I tell you what, go ahead, Bub. I'm sorry.
Talking about some of the defensive numbers, 3 out of 23 on third downs for South Florida and Temple combined. The Owls were 3 out of 16 yesterday. And obviously, we're allowing just 8.5 points per game in those last two games with the Bulls scoring 14 and Temple scoring those three that were where they were a beneficiary of the short field after the interception. These numbers are compliments of Tom McClellan. He gave us the easy button on Twitter last night. He said, posted shutouts in 8 of the last 10 quarters, kind of what Matt was just referencing. No touchdowns in the last 6 quarters and held Temple to a combined 6 points in the last two meetings.
That's incredible because we've had they just, you know, like Matt, you're from the Northeast. That team has owned us. Going all back to that game you're talking about in 2014, where the you know we were ranked in the CFP playoff rankings, we were like 15th or 16th, I think. I think even the college polls, we were up to 14th in AP and college coaches poll, I believe, somewhere around there in that game. And then all hell broke loose. We have not been the same. And the good news is I think we're starting to get that back. I tell you what, guys, we've been so desperate to go to a bowl. I know Matt has a wager we're going to do here, which bowl we're going to go to. But the only one I could take off of work is the Myrtle Beach Bowl. So that's going to be my pick. But the main thing right now is I heard this term this week talking about how you're playing in November. And somebody said the November to remember. It was a college football radio show I was listening to. And you know something? I believe, guys, I'll steal their line. I think this is going to be a November to remember. I feel good about the next 3 weeks. I think if that Cincy game was at, there, I wouldn't be so bullish on them. But, oh, my gosh, that game now with Memphis, I think there's a 50. This is one of those 50-50 games. I think we're even. It's on the road. I know they're probably going to give an advantage to maybe, I think, the line. You guys, group chat, was it six. Or something? Yeah. So I see why they're doing that. But I really believe this team, there's something special about them. They're playing cohesive as a unit. I really feel strongly about the next 3 weeks in November. I'm very excited about it. One more thing, Bubba, I know you want to chime in. When we started this podcast, I was just happy to be doing a sports show. I've always wanted to do a sports show. I picked the school I graduated from because I'm so passionate about it. And our first year covering football was last year at Montgomery. It was horrible to have to cover such a brutal team. And we were just happy to be able to do the show. The three of us guys were happy to do the show together. Now, every show that we're doing now, I'm so excited the day of the show, knowing we've got the show, because we have good news to report. It's a lot easier to do that, right, guys?
Yeah, it's great for the shows to be, successful and be getting a lot of traffic and views and listens because of the Pirates winning rather than, that first show when the Pirates lost to A&T. It was getting a lot of traffic because A&T was laughing at us, and I'm sure everybody else in the state was laughing at us. Those A&T fans posted on their website, and it got probably close to 1,000 views or more because – we were the laughing stock of college football in the region.
Absolutely.
Yeah, they ain't come a long way since then. I mean, that A&T game was the low point. Honestly, and I know we beat North Carolina the following week, which to me made North Carolina the laughing stock of college football. But Montgomery should have been fired after that game. I mean, and I believe had we had an AD, I believe even if Comfort was still here, Montgomery would have been fired after that game. But we didn't have an athletic director, he managed to make it till next to the last game of the year. But that was embarrassing to lose to A&T.
November 29th.
Yeah, to lose to A&T was a low point, and we're coming back from it, and we're where we are right now in 2015. We're to where we were. We're back to being a 5-win football team. Think about that, guys. Ruffin's last year, we were we were a 5-7 team. And so we're right there now. We're a 5-win team. And now can we get back to where we were prior to that? Can we get a winning season? Can we go to a bowl? And it ain't going to be easy. You know, Memphis is a tough place to win. Navy is historically a team we've absolutely, that have just beat us year in, year out, with the exception of 2011. I think we can beat Memphis. I actually think the spread's too high. I liked it about a 3-point game, but I'm telling you right now, man, it would not surprise me, particularly how healthy we are on the back end. I'm going to be interested to see that this week with a couple of injuries back there. If we're healthy, I'm telling you, it would not surprise me at all if we go to Memphis and can take care of business this weekend.
I'll go with you guys and tell you right now that the Pirates will not allow as many points as we did the last time we went to Memphis.
Oh my God!
Don't talk about that game, Bubba. Dave, we'll go on and on and on about that damn game.
63 points allowed in 2.5 quarters.
Yeah, that's the game that I say that's the game that Montgomery should have been fired, and they should have told him, "You're not flying back with the team. You need to make some more arrangements to get back home." That's how strongly I feel about it. There was no excuse for that. The team gave up. It was 28-0, like early in the second quarter. Something like that.
When he guaranteed the bowl.
Yeah. After that game, he guaranteed that we're going to win. See, here's another problem we have right now. Our fan base has been beat down so much by that crap of saying we're going to win 6 games. We're going to win. We only won 3. So you need to expect to win every single game. Even if you don't win every single game, the expectation should be win 12 and not say 6, because if you promise to win 6, you're only going to win 3. So, but anyway, we're trending up. That's the right thing. And I tell you what I was looking for yesterday, I want to get you guys taking on that. Matt, you've already alluded to the fact this was a statement game. I'm not trying to be over dramatic, but this was a statement game for me. games that we would barely win or we would find a way to lose in the past. It will be a tight game. Temple pulls it out. We barely pull it out. Yesterday, we made a statement, and we belong at the top of the conference. And by the way, Kyle, if you take away the three teams that are going to the top three teams that are going to the Big 12, when they go away, that puts us at the top, literally the top of the conference. We're going to win the American, and we can win the American next year if you look at everybody that's coming back. I firmly believe that. So not only the great thing is it's not like a senior led team. We've got a lot of young players. They're freshmen and sophomores. The coach, as our good friend Pirate Al said on Pirate Radio last night, this guy could have microwaved the program, got a bunch of JUCOs in here. Nothing against JUCOs, but instead he's building it the right way. And right now we have
go ahead, Dave.
No, I was just going to simply say that people that were frustrated, rightfully so, of all the six straight losing seasons and all that, you're finally seeing the fruit of the labors. Now we have a chance. We can even, guys, we can still mathematically go 9-4. One of the best, that would be one of the best records we've ever had, and we still can achieve that. So until we don't, that's where I'm headed, 9-4.
Yeah, technically we can. Yeah, if we win our next three and win the bowl, we would be 9-4, and that would include a win over Cincinnati, which if Cincinnati keeps winning would be arguably in terms of rankings, there's no arguably to it. It would be the biggest win in program history based on rankings because they'll be in the top five if they keep winning. So a lot of hay to put in the barn before we get there. And it starts this week with Memphis. Memphis just beat SMU, top 25 team. Look, what I'm hoping is the Memphis Tigers are riding high after beating SMU and haven't been paying much attention to old East Carolina. And the last time they played East Carolina, they beat the dog mess out of us and are just going to come out there expecting to roll their helmets out on the field and roll over us. And we slap them in the mouth. That's what I'm hoping. We'll see what happens in Memphis next weekend. But I'm ready. It's going to be a long week waiting for that game. I really hope we take care of business and go ahead and get bowl eligible. I don't think I can physically take it. Going to Memphis still need to go into Navy still need to get six.
Or Cincy. Let's go ahead and take care of business.
Don't even talk about that. Don't even talk about needing six against Cincinnati. No, I think our best chance to upset Cincinnati is to have six in the bag and then to just go into that game with house it being money. House money. Yep. And you fake punch, you go for it on fourth down, you run trick plays. And
all night just, long. We're coming for you, baby. We're coming for you, Luke Fickell.
Yeah, but if you're playing for a bowl game, you're going to be uptight. And, you know, so we need to get this bowl situation wrapped up before that Cincinnati game.
And you know what? This is – hey, guys, I want to make this one point, and then we'll go to Pays and audio, I promise, Bubba. I know we're a little bit behind. But, look, I'm going to make this one point. I was thinking about this morning getting ready. Took my kids to the movies today, and I was getting ready. I said, you know, this is one time – that the college football people are going to be huge Pirate fans when we play Cincinnati because we can be the spoiler where they can say, hey, you lost to East Carolina, so you don't deserve to be in the playoff. You know that? I mean, it's sad. It's sad that one lost Cincy team that's two in the nation, you know, the number two, still again this week, number two. I don't want to get off on a tangent, but just to say that the polls make no sense. That they could be number two.
We'd be better off. We would be better off in the old BCS system. In the old BCS system, Cincinnati would be poised to play for a national championship if they took care of business. It's a shame that the playoff has made it harder for the so-called group of five.
All right. We got some comments now, including another one now we've got just posted from Richard Allsburg. But B. Pays, our good friend for many years. Pays is my age and Matt's age, so sorry, Pays, to out you there, but he's been following the program a long time. He said in 94, we went to Memphis and beat them to get a spot in the Liberty Bowl. We went 7-5 that year.
Correct. Yeah, that was the Liberty Bowl Alliance, the predecessor to Conference USA, and that was, you know, a big bowl game, and Memphis was hosting it in the Liberty Bowl. The winner went to the Liberty Bowl, and Memphis may have been favored. Memphis may even have been favored in that game, and we blew them out. So maybe we can repeat history.
Yeah, that was the week after we had a near miss against UCF. UCF was FCS at the time, or 1AA, and they came into Greenville and took us to the wire, but we found a way to win, and that got us bowl eligible, and then we really needed to go in there and win that game and got to 7-4, and that was a game, I'm trying to remember, I think we won 30-10, but it was never in doubt. We played very well. I want to say that maybe Tennessee had lost to Memphis that year, or at the very least were taken to the wire by Memphis.
No, there was a year that we played Memphis the week after they upset Tennessee, but I don't think that was 94.
That was late 90s, yeah. One. But how about the
go back and look, but Richard Allsbrook also said, and he said for that home finale and the season finale, for that matter, how do you get people in the seats for the last home game against Cincinnati? We need a miracle the day after Thanksgiving. What time is the game? As far as that's concerned, I
need Mr. Beast there.
A lot of people, approach it from that angle. But my dad and I were talking about this last night. Yes, it's a tough draw, but I think some people, kind of need to look themselves in the mirror. And honestly, how much do you care about the Pirates? I mean, we're playing winning football, and we could have 6 or 7 wins at that time. And you have a potentially, a top three team coming to your house. They're still number two, I believe, in the AP poll. So are you telling me that that's not enough of a draw, a 6 or 7 win East Carolina team taking on number two Cincinnati? Are you kidding me?
I think if we can win another game, even if we don't, we'd be playing for bowl eligibility, but God forbid. But if we win another game or two, and since he stays undefeated, and that game is going to get – you asked about the time, Richard. It's going to be either 3:30 on ESPN or brace yourself, 7 p.m. prime time on ABC. So if we can handle our business the next 2 weeks, and since he handles their business – and we are 7-4, and they're 11-0. Primetime ABC. There'll be a lot of hype around that game nationally. So, I would hope Pirate fans would show up. I mean, even if we don't sell the stadium out, you would hope to God we can get 35,000 in there for that game. Yesterday's attendance, I think, would have been much better if it weren't for the weather forecast that the meteorologist got wrong. Getting 40,000 to 50,000 in there might be tough these days, but guys, if we don't get at least 35,000 in there for that ball game, I'd be very disappointed.
I think it's time to really look ourselves in the mirror a little bit, not to cut off there. Actually, you guys go to Pays, and then I'll get back to my point here.
We need to get all the local organizations involved to cover the students missing. You know what, Pays? That's a great point. I was going to ask you.
Yeah, that's a good point about the students.
We need to get the students section. You know how they've been doing a great job, Bubba? You and I have gone to the basketball games where they've had – the students are not there. They let the fans buy the tickets that normally be the student section. Let's do a really cool promotion where we have that place, that Bowen Yard area. Let's do a cool promotion where we have a value ticket or something that we can get that Bowen Yard maybe a chance to win something if you buy a Boneyard. I don't know. But let's get that Boneyard rocking, because it is loud when those students are yelling and screaming and you've got a lot of students there. Maybe I don't know how you do that, but that would be a
great way. I don't know. Maybe we could approach Boys and Girls Club or something like that. Let's fill it up with kids. Yes. Kids can make more noise than students. So that's true. I don't know. There's creative ways. And some of these students might stay around, man. If we win one or two of these next ones, we'll be bowl eligible and taking on a top five team. I mean, some kids may forego Thanksgiving or make it back early from Thanksgiving to go to that game. But Pace does make a good point about the students not being there and trying to fill up the student section.
Yeah, $10 tickets for all. Pace is saying for all youth organizations and churches. Or churches 4 for $40, 4 tickets, 4 hot dogs. And 4 beers. No, I'm kidding. 4 drinks. No, I mean, like that Boneyard is 10,000-12,000 right there, easy. That we desperately need, and the weather is maybe a factor, but still, guys. I mean, this is the best our program has been in years. Why in the world? Look and think about this. You don't have
involving church groups isn't a bad idea. Church groups do plan things. They do plan social outings. They do bus trips. It's kind of late planning at this point, but you could do it now. There's still enough time. Maybe do.
Go ahead and do it now.
For some of these small towns in Eastern North Carolina, Williamston, down in Duplin County, Jones County, Snow Hill, just little rural areas in Eastern North Carolina, Greenville is like the shopping mecca, as silly as that may sound to somebody in a big city. Do a whole Black Friday deal with these churches where, I guess you can't tell them what to do. I'm just being creative on the church's behalf. Where you do a whole day in Greenville, you go Black Friday shopping, you grab something to eat, then you go to the football game.
Yeah, these church youth groups and things. And I tell you what, the great point there from Bubba, we had 46,000 from Marshall in 2012 on Black Friday. It is possible. This is a program that's trending in the right direction. This will be the last home game, folks, for 2021. You know,
what a poor job we've done getting the fans back. I mean, I don't know. You got 46,000 people. You have people that are angry that Ruffin was fired. You have people that were angry because they hated Jeff Confer, which again goes back to Ruffin being fired. I don't know how in the hell the Pirate Club hasn't done a better job of reaching out to people, how the athletic department hasn't done a better job of reaching out to people and getting people back. I mean, where did all those people go? Did they all die?
I think there's an assumption that as soon as the program turned a little bit, that the people were automatically going to come back. And I think what we're seeing, to your point, Kyle, there was a lot of damage done to the casual ECU fan. There really was. The diehards, like all of us here and Pirate Club members, the diehards are going to be there no matter what. But the damage that was done is still lasting to this day. And you see it and you hear it on the message boards. You know, there were conversations today on one of the popular message boards about the damage that's been done and how long it's taking. Now, my question to the fan base is, what's it going to take to get you back? I mean, from my perspective, a guy who loves the program, I was jacked before yesterday's game. I mean, I was ready to go. It was a home game with a chance to get back over 500, a big favorite at home. You felt very confident we were going to win that game. It's like, what's it going to take to get you back in the stadium? Now, I feel things will take care of themselves against Cincinnati if we can win the next two. That place will be rocking. I have no doubt about it. I'm curious, I think if we split, we'll be in good shape. If we lose two, it might be a really tough draw for us. So I think, like you said earlier, Kyle, we got to get one. You know, either one will do.
Let's go ahead and take care of business right now. Like Kyle said, let's go out to Memphis. Let's have a big game, win that game. And when you play with house money, then you have a good shot to beat Navy. Navy's way below us now, this year based on standings. Doesn't mean we'll win the game, but I'm just saying take care of business, knock them down, keep them down. The Cincy game.
Navy might be the most dangerous 2-win football team in the history of college football. I mean, they got 2 wins, but you watch them play at times. They don't look like a 2-win football team. I mean, it's really annoying. I wish they were as bad as they're. And God, who gave them a damn off week before they played us? What kind of nonsense is that? We got to play Memphis on the road, and Navy gets an off week. I mean, I guess Veterans Day week. I guess maybe they deserve that. If you give them an off week, I guess that's appropriate, but. That's annoying.
Well, I'll tell you guys, sorry, Dave, I didn't mean to cut you off
ahead,
there.
No.
I do like our chances a lot more. Not to, skip over Memphis. I know we're going to go back to that. But one thing I really like about our team this year against Navy, first of all, we have some experience against them from last year. But I think one of the strengths of our team is our D-line and our depth that we have there and being able to rotate guys in and out. Yes. And I think we can really, really do a job on their offensive line more than we have in the past. I think we're faster on defense. We run to the ball better. Their quarterback is not nearly as dynamic in the passing game. But what they want to do, not to get too far into Navy, but they're always in 4-down territory, and that's the problem. So no matter what, if you don't stop them on first down, you're going to be in trouble because they're going to get you in 4th-and-1, third-and-3, that type of thing. But it will be interesting to see what happens.
No
what
doubt
they really
about
like to do this year, and then we'll get back to Memphis, is have long, long, long drives, eat up clock, and then, you know, their defense is pretty good. They don't have a extreme amount of depth on defense, but their starting defense is good. So if they can eat clock up and then put their defense back out on the field, they like to win low-scoring slugfest. That's what they've been doing this year. But anyway, we got Memphis first, and I'm not – look, I'll say it before and I'll say it again. I think we match up pretty well with Memphis, particularly if our secondary is healthy. I think we can get pressure on their quarterback. And Memphis has struggled against good defenses this year. Now, more so on the road, for whatever reason, they are very Jekyll and Hyde playing in Memphis versus playing on the road. But they've struggled against good defenses, at least on the road. Maybe we can have them struggle against a good defense at home.
No doubt. Hey, Bubba, I know we got some comments. Then we got our post-game audio that we want to play for Pirate fans in case they missed it, right?
Yeah, another comment from Richard Allsbrook on Facebook saying best way to start the game yesterday was the Coach Ruff video, want some, get some. And cool. In just one moment, I was unexpected, and we had no idea they were going to do that, but I was able to catch part of it.
Want some, get some.
Well, that wasn't it.
What do you mean? What do you mean that
was? I must have missed the first part.
Yeah, won't some get some?
The first part. My audio automatically goes to off when you start a video up like that. So,
no doubt. I tell you what, we're speaking of won't some get some. It's great now that when we have the post game audio, Matt, that we're not like just beating our heads to the wall. It's actually good stuff. Bubba, I'm going to pitch it to you. Appreciate that. By the way, our good friend Alan Vick, this part of our team, has been, we haven't thanked him enough. Thank you, AV, for all that you do for us. He goes to the weekly press conferences. He's been going to post game, obviously, when we can't. And we want to thank Alan. He's been a dear friend. You know, Matt, and you know, guys, when you make a friend in broadcasting, as cutthroat as it is, you've done something. And Alan Vick, I met him in July of 1996. The guy has been good to me since day one. In radio, we worked together, my first radio gig, and he's always been my friend since the day we met. So I want to give him a shout out for that. But Bubba, I wanted to thank him before we go to the audio. Thanks, Alan, for all that you do for us.
Yeah, all of this post game audio is available on our YouTube channel, so definitely go and check it out there if you are unable to listen to it all right now. But we have the first half of Mike Houston's post game audio, where he just talked about what a complete performance that was, and the way the team really, you know, he said in his opinion that he was almost afraid that we were too jacked up to play, but that was not the case. And we came out and played the way we needed to play for the most part, and he was extremely excited about that, as he should have been.
Obviously really excited about the performance of our group tonight. You know, just felt like we had a really good week of practice. You know, yesterday, as sharp of a walkthrough, run-through as we've had. And, you know, they got up this morning. I mean, at 7:30 this morning, they're, you know, chomping at the bit. And I was a little worried about us being too excited to play today. But, you know, I knew we were ready to play. I knew we were going to play well. You know, I think Temple has a lot of talent over there. You know, this is a team that, you know, this is the first win at home against Temple since 96. That's a long time. And, you know, some of the older kids talked about just, you know, how badly Temple beat them their freshman and sophomore years. I think just embarrassing performances. And so to see our group of older kids go out there and, you know, and play that way against that program at home, that's just a really impressive performance by those kids. And just really proud of them, proud of the work that they're putting in. Thank you, Pirate Nation, for the way you showed up today. Thanks again to student body. Got to visit with them a little bit before the game, as they were preparing to come in, and just really, really a special stadium there today, in spite of the elements. So, you know, good win number five. So we're, you know, 5-4, over 500 in November. You know, good night.
Coach, you mentioned the five wins.
Nah, I don't. No, you can't, because you got to focus on who you're playing. I mean, they all know it. Believe me, I promise you, they know it. Everybody in Greenville knows it. But we're playing a very good Memphis team. Knocked off a ranked SMU team today. We've got to go two there. It's an early kickoff. I've seen some on film already. I know that receiver they've got is pretty special. So you know, we're going to have our hands full. But you know, the focus is just trying to get better every day and trying to play really well next weekend in Memphis, and we'll see if we're good enough.
Mike, I saw, I think all three touchdown passes were to tight ends tonight.
Yep.
Was that something that you saw in game plan for, or is that something that just kind
of
happened?
Well, I think we saw it in practice, and I think we continue to see it with the development of that group. You know, I thought Ryan Jones had his best week of practice this week, and I made the comment to John Gilbert either yesterday or Thursday. I said, I'm telling you, he's making plays in practice that are just extremely impressive. I said, there's going to be a game somewhere along in here where he's going to have just a blowout, breakout game. And I think tonight was it. I mean, that's pretty impressive. Over 100 yards receiving for a tight end. Two touchdowns. Real close to having a third right there. Just barely stepped out. And then Shane. I mean, I've said it. Shane is the total package. Good blocker. He's a good receiver. And he's still really, really young. So those two guys just really, they're a great 1-2 punch there. Aaron Jarman, ironically, Temple transfer, did a lot of great things in a run game tonight. So that tight end room had a real good night tonight.
168 yards total that you allowed them. What stood out to you that was working so well defensively? You really erased the run early.
Well, I thought our defensive linemen and linebackers, you know, really they owned the line of scrimmage. That's the whole key to it. They did a great job, gap integrity, winning their gap, and just, you know, really knocking the offensive line back. And as elementary as that sounds, that's what it was. You know, we whipped them up front.
Going into this game, we talked a lot about Temple Tough. What does a 45-3 win say about Pirate Tough?
I just, you know, I challenged the kids to be the most physical team in the stadium this afternoon, to be the ones that played with the most passion and intensity and most physicality. I think they demonstrated that.
The defense had to face two sudden changes, got a three and out both times. Is there anything you guys do to practice to simulate?
Yeah. Yeah, it's something we work with. Coach Harrell does a great job with it. It's really a mentality thing for us, because, you know, our job right there is to, you know, try to hold them to, you know, at least a field goal, hopefully, you know, nothing. And so we're able to, you know, force, you know, no points one time. Unfortunately, we gave the field goal there in the second half. So the kids were disappointed in that. But, you know, it's a mindset that those defensive coaches do a great job with.
All right, good stuff. That's the post-game comments from Coach Mike Houston and Matt and Bubba, and we'll get Kyle. He's in the green room coming back in, but certainly with performance. You know, one of the things I'm happy about, and let me say this too, is Coach Mike Houston, it loves his players, and there was all these people that thought that Coach Houston, speaking of the casual fans, Matt, that talks all kind of, you know, thought that he was talking smack about fans. And what he was doing is he was taking up for his players. And the reason I brought that up is the fact that when you hear his voice, his tone, you can tell how much a coach loves his players. You can tell a guy that he's not going to ask them to do anything that he wouldn't do. And he knows what it takes. He's a winner. And it made me feel good to hear his comments last night, because that's a guy that really loves his players. And it meant, I don't know about you as a former player, but if you could tell that.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt. I mean, you could tell it really meant something to especially these older guys on the team that got beat down by Temple a few years back. You know, that's clearly something they remembered. You don't forget those things as a player. Those things stick with you. And even if it's 3 years later, you want to get redemption. So very happy for those guys. What I really – my key take away from that is when Mike Houston says, you know, we whooped them up front. We whooped them up front. And that's a beautiful thing to hear, because, mm-hmm. you know, that is not something, again, that's part of what we're starting to see now with this team. But to be able to physically dominate people at the point of attack is just great to see. And if you watch that game, we were rotating like crazy up front. I mean, it was just bringing in waves of D linemen, linebackers, rotating that secondary a lot. And it's just great to see. It really is.
Before, we had a great first string, but we didn't have anything behind them. You know, it wasn't that we had, that's the problem is, and then Kyle, as you know, we would wear out in the fourth quarter, maybe even before that, because guys are playing, you know, those guys a few years ago, you've got great D linemen, but they can't play, you know, like 80, a whole bunch of snaps.
Yeah. I mean, you need any quality depth on the defensive line, particularly in today's football with fast paced offenses. That's what we have. We have quality depth, a lot of interchangeable pieces. So to see this D-line improve and how young we are still on the D-line and the defense as a whole really bodes well for the future if we can keep kids out of the transfer portal. It's impressive to see. It was a dominant defensive performance. Yeah, part of that had to do with Temple. Temple's offense is awful, but we did what we were supposed to do. A good defense should shut out a bad offense, and that's what we did. I mean, we didn't give up any points on defense. We gave up a point, one field goal on special teams. So the defense got their shutout. Unfortunately, it won't show up on the scoreboard.
Hey, Bubba, yeah, no doubt about that. Bubba, I know next up for our post game, we had Holton, right?
Yeah, Holton Ayler's 16 out of 24, 197 yards, three touchdowns. All three of those touchdown passes came to tight ends, two to Ryan Jones, one to Shane Calhoun. Carried the ball five times for 33 yards and a touchdown. And right now, let's go to those post-game comments from East Carolina veteran quarterback Holton Ayers.
Shoot, he's got a – you know, we knew going into the year that, you know, getting six was our goal, and that still is our goal. It's going to be – you know, a 6-1 is probably going to be the toughest one just because – we got three games left. We just got to get one. But, you know, we think we can win all those games. We just got to take it 1 week at a time. And, I mean, yeah, I mean, we talk about it on a daily basis. So, I mean, you guys can talk as much as you want about it.
Holton, Coach mentioned this, but what was it like to be on this side of a score like that? You've been on the opposite side
for sure.
Times in your career.
Yeah. We were standing in the boneyard at the end of the game. Coach Houston came up to me and said good game and all that. And I was like, you know, our program has changed a lot since my freshman year. Because my freshman year, we went to Philly, and we were the team that, I mean, the first quarter it was done. And to be in Dowdy tonight and, you know, to have that score, to not play the whole fourth quarter, it's a super blessing just to be a part of this program changing. It's definitely something I'll cherish forever, and these seniors will cherish forever. It's definitely something that, you know, we're proud of, and we got a lot of work to do. But, you know, it's cool to be in the moment, too. So,
how has the Boneyard, the students, how have they impacted you? And coming off last year where there weren't many fans in the stands, and now to see Dowdy back at 40-50, how does that impact you and the team?
Yeah, it impacts us a lot. Anytime, you know, the student section's rocking, it's going to be hard to beat us. I've said that my whole career here, especially, you know, all of Dowdy, too. I think, you know, we got the best home field advantage in our conference. My roommate, Aaron Jarman, came from Temple. And I was just asking him, you know, like, what do other teams think when they come in here? And he's like, they don't think it's anything like anything else in our conference. You know, it's like an SEC environment. And especially when that place is rocking. I mean, today was cold and rainy and stuff. So, but, I mean, they still got loud. And, you know, home field advantage in Dowdy is special. So, I'm excited to play Cincy here. Just got to take it 1 week at a time. But that will be a fun game.
You account for four touchdowns today. Talk about what's working well for you guys offensively overall.
Yeah, I think the whole, and, you know, it starts with the run game. You know, I haven't seen the stats yet. I don't know how much we ran for, but it starts with the guys up front being physical. And then, I mean, the pass game will open up, the play action game will open up, and that's what happened tonight. I mean, two of the touchdowns were play action passes that we set up, you know, pretty early on with jet sweep runs. And then the third one, the line gave me about 5 seconds to throw the ball. So, I mean, with the guys that we have that much time. We're going to, you know, be pretty successful. So, it starts with the guys up front, and then the guys just catching the ball, too. Ryan made a heck of a catch there on the wheel. That win was pretty rough there in the second quarter, so he made a really good catch.
Tight end involvement today, is that something you kind of figured going into the game to be there, or is it just something that developed throughout the game?
It's just part of our offense. You know, I've said it for a while that, I mean, everyone's going to have their day in this offense. You know, I mean, we have so many guys, and I haven't looked at the stats. I'm not a big stat guy, but I'm sure if you look at the catches and the yards and all that, it's pretty, you know, evenly spread just because the guys that we have in this offense and the way it kind of runs is just, you know, go through your reads and get the guy the ball who is open on the read. And those guys have just done a tremendous job of working hard. They catch extremely well, and then they block extremely well too.
CJ had, I mean, a hell of a catch.
Yeah.
What was kind of going through your mind on that play after you saw he came down the ball?
Yeah, we got him to jump all sides. It was a free play. I was going to throw it deep. Check Audie's side first, Audie and Snead. Audie's corner bailed. I had enough time to go right. CJ didn't have much room, so I just tried to, you know, give him something. He caused an interference or something since it was a free play, and he made a heck of a catch. You know, I've been with CJ for a long time, and that was one of the top ones that I've seen him make.
You guys push the ball down the field more today. It seems like you have in the past. Is that something you guys saw on film and thought you could do, or just something?
Yeah, I mean, it all starts with film. Really, any play we run, we think it'd be successful from that. But I mean, we got guys that can push the ball down the field. You know, like I said, the wind was all over the place. I mean, you throw one ball, it go right, next ball, it go left. So, you know, some of them we could have hit probably, but it was good. It was good, you know, to push the ball down the field. We hope to continue to do that.
How much confidence does seeing your defense play that way give you guys on offense?
A lot. I mean, we could have scored one touchdown and one today. That's pretty sweet, if you ask me. Prefer to score more, but yeah, I mean, those guys are balling. They've been balling all year. I mean, they're hard workers. Coach Harrell's got those guys rolling. We knew it was, you know, I mean, it was a matter of time before, you know, they started playing the way they have. So super proud of them. A lot of those guys came in with me. It's cool to see them be successful.
On Keaton's long run, getting out blocking.
Heck yeah.
Some choice words from your head coach about making sure you don't get injured, but you know, what's your mindset on leading the charge on that run?
Yeah, just helping my team, man. You know, I'll always do whatever I have to do to help this team win. In that aspect, just score. Like we said, you know, Keaton, anytime Keaton touches the ball, he can score. So, I mean, I knew that was the one guy in his way. So, anything I can do to help the team win.
You were leading him down the field, so what does that say about your
ability? That's why I told him on the sideline. I'm just as fast as Keaton, I guess. Maybe a little bit faster.
All right, thanks, Holden.
Thanks, guys.
And there's post-game comments from ECU quarterback Holton Ahlers. And, you know, guys, I know that Alan Vick had a comment up there about Ahlers. Obviously, by the way, Alan Vick, I failed to mention, is the voice of the D.H. Conley Vikings. So he knows a thing or two about Holton Ahlers and CJ as well, Johnson. But Holton Ahlers is one of those kids that is tough as nails and really happy to see a game like that in Dowdy. And in fact, he said it's amazing how all these people that were screaming for Holton to be benched and for Mike Houston, he might not be the answer, et cetera, are nowhere to be found. It's so obvious this team is much better. But this week against Memphis will tell us a lot. If we go on the road and beat a decent team coming off a high, that will say a lot about where this program is. But it will be very obvious that things are pointed, I should say, in an extremely positive direction. Thank you, Alan. Alan has been one of those guys, even under the Montgomery era, that's been extremely positive. And thank God for people like him that are diehards, that a guy that he's a farmable kid, so he's a local guy. And thank God for the diehards. Because,
yeah, no doubt. I mean, and being positive, yeah, when it's time to be positive, like now, being positive, Alan, love you and respect you, but being positive under Scotty Montgomery, that's sick. listening to Holton's comments, Holton, it's good to hear him having fun, because he loves this place. And yeah. I think a lot of Pirate fans, you know, I heard some assholes in the stands yelling when he threw that pick, "We want Mason, we want Mason." And nothing against Mason Garcia, he's a Pirate too. But I wonder if you're going to chant that anymore after, you know, nothing against Mason, but he's got a long ways to go. I'll just leave it there. I don't want to sound like I'm knocking him.
Well, let me.
But Holton loves this place, and people seem to forget that. People seem to forget he's one of us. You know, he grew up wanting to be a Pirate. It's like, you know, it's like Rudy and his love for Notre Dame. Only, you know, Holton was a legit Division I quarterback who had opportunities to go play in the SEC, the ACC, and he chose to stay here. And,
Big Ten.
You know, he hasn't been perfect. And at times, it hasn't been his fault. It's been the O-line. It's been, you know, not having the talent around him. At times, before Houston got here, it was coaching. But I think what you're seeing, when Holton can be a game manager, and Holton can make plays, he doesn't have to just be a game manager. But when he can be a game manager and then make a big play when he needs to, He can be very effective, and that's what he's been able to do more this year, particularly the last 2 weeks. Did have the pick that was, you know, that was, I don't know what happened on that play, but overall, great game, a great last two games. And hopefully that'll continue. Hope we'll continue with the strong play and as we get these next three. I don't like kind of what he said. There's one thing I don't like that he said, Holton, if you're listening. He said, we got three games left. We got to win one of those last three. No, sir. We got to win all three of those.
Hey, Bubba.
I can say we got to win one of those last three, but I want to hear you say we got to win all three of them.
I agree. I agree with that. 100%.
Bubba, I had a question for you, being a quarterback. It seems to me, because you make a great point, Kyle, and I've been wanting to ask you guys this. Do you think Holton sometimes, because he's a local kid, he's, you know, got the talent. Sometimes I think because ECU is his, you know, his favorite school, sometimes I feel like he puts way too much pressure. He's trying way too hard, knowing the program was so low, and he's 8, 9 years old, watching us win back-to-back championships for Conference USA, being a tremendous athlete, growing up in Greenville, going to those Pirate games. His dad is a huge Pirate at Morgan Ayler's. I mean, it just seems like to me that now he's not only trusting himself, like running the football, you know, like doing that, but sometimes he's trying to make things happen that are not there, only because I think he knows this, that his, I guess, legacy in Greenville, he's trying to turn this program around. And you made a great point, Kyle. He's the last few weeks he's having fun out there, and I don't think he's putting as much pressure on himself. That's just my take.
No, I wholeheartedly agree, and you've even heard some comments. I don't recall specifically what they were, but stuff from Mike Houston on multiple occasions saying just that, you know, Holton's going to be fine. Holton just has to, you know, be Holton and, you know, kind of just relax, let the game come to him and do the things that he can do. And we've seen that more here lately.
Yeah. Guys, a few things about Holton yesterday. One of the things I observed was he was able to step into a clean pocket. You know, that's not something we've been accustomed to seeing here, especially early in the season against South Carolina. He was getting teed off on. But yesterday you would see several times off of play action, Holton was able to step into his throw, you know, with, you know, on balance, in rhythm, and deliver a strike down the field. So that was nice to see too. We also, there was some nice creative play calling, I thought, to free up some of those big plays down the field. If you look at the first touchdown to Ryan Jones, we used jet sweep action on that. The linebackers and secondary bit like you wouldn't believe on that. Not only was Ryan Jones wide open down the middle for an easy touchdown, but if you go back and watch it, Keaton Mitchell was lined up as the running back, and he basically, it wasn't really a wheel route. It was more like he just basically released right down the seam, and he was wide open too. Holton could have picked his guy on that. That was nice design. And it was all set up off Tyler Snead coming on jet action sweep. So that type of design, I think, is helping. Balance is always key, you know, and Bubba's the stat guy, Bubba. So I apologize if I'm stealing this from you here. But 246 rushing, 204 passing, that helps Holton too. So I think all those things combined, and he definitely looks like a better quarterback the last few weeks.
Hey, speaking of which, Bubba, I had a question for you. I forgot to ask you. This is audible now. How close is Mitchell? He's getting close to that 1,000-yard mark. How close is he now? I forgot to check that, and I was going to ask you that before the show.
I'll have to double-check and see. I know he's got to be at least right around 800 yards, if not more. Yeah. And so I will check on that in a moment. But, you know, kind of to build on what Matt's saying regarding the pocket and, you know, Holton have more time to throw the football – that's something, you know, if you know anything about it, you know, just watch Holton, you know, watch the way, you know, he'll move his feet, and you can tell, you know, his just posture there in the pocket, as far as you can tell, he's moving his eyes from one receiver to another, like one from maybe on the right side of the field to the middle of the field. He's going through his different reads on whatever those reads are on different plays. And, you know, he's getting to the third read at times. And that's a good thing. You can tell a quarterback, he's having time and he's feeling comfortable and he's not constantly being moved off his spot, and he's able to stand in the pocket and step up and move within the pocket like Colton did yesterday and has in recent games, as opposed to what it was early in the season where he's constantly running for his life.
No doubt. And by the way, guys,
this offense, some of the routes in this offense take a while to develop downfield. It's not the air raid where it's, you know, fast routes, get the ball out in a hurry kind of offense. And because of that, you know, I think you've seen Holton struggle at times more than what people have expected. But like I said earlier, you know, when Holton can be a game manager, and I don't want to label him game manager because he is capable of making big plays on his own. But when he can play within himself, been pulling it down and running it more the last couple of weeks, guys. So that's a good thing. He seems to have gotten that aspect back to his game. So hopefully that'll continue. The Pirates are a good road team. The record doesn't indicate it, but we've actually played really well on the road this year. We beat Marshall. We should have beat UCF. We took Houston to overtime. So we've played well on the road. It's time to go get a road win in conference and go handle business in the Liberty Bowl. The Liberty Bowl has been the site of some of East Carolina's greatest moments, some of our biggest heartbreaks. I think it's time to go have another magic moment in the Liberty Bowl. Here recently, it's been too many heartbreaks out there. So I think it's time to go have a 94 Memphis moment or a 95 Stanford Memphis Liberty Bowl moment. And let's go get number six. And guys, I challenge everybody in Pirate Nation. If we get number six this Saturday, it's a 12 o'clock kickoff.
Yep.
So that bodes really well for being able to get to that airport at a decent hour. So if we pull that upset off, the Sports Objective team will be in touch with our good friend Brian Medor and have updates on landing times and takeoff times and all that good stuff. And if we can pull the upset, the mild
will be there.
If we can get the win, we want to see Pirate Nation out there. I'll be there. Dave, I'm assuming you'll be there. Bubba, you said you might not come because you may go to Annapolis instead.
Right.
Well, Dave, will you be there if we pull the upset? Or I hate to say the upset anymore. We get the win.
Yeah, I mean, we got to figure out a way to get people there, thousands of thousands. Semenza, you tell this again. We got to go to Ryan Jones here in a second. But tell people the significance of you experienced out of the 90s, the thousands and thousands of fans. How about that Miami game you guys win? You go down to the Orange Bowl, what was it, 31-6? You have a huge crowd. I'll never forget. I was DJing downtown Greenville at the Sports Pad, or I would have been there that night. And I'll never forget people running in and telling me, because they knew how much I love, you know, the Pirates and that I worked for the flagship station. But they were telling me, Dave, you won't believe this. There was thousands of people at the airport tonight. There were games like that in the 90s that still ring in my head, you know, thinking about the significance for the program. But also, how did you feel as a player? Tell Pirate Nation right now how big it is to have thousands of people coming back to that Pitt Greenville airport.
Oh, it's awesome. It really is. Now, like, I can think back to my freshman year. I was from New Jersey, guys. I really wasn't too familiar with the program, you know, intimately, obviously, to know those type of things at that point. But I remember we're coming off a huge win, and I think it might have been Syracuse. And the airport was packed, and I'm saying to myself, oh my God, I'm like, these people are really, really passionate about East Carolina football. And it kind of hit me right there. And it did mean a lot. I thought it was an awesome experience to know that people back you up. And in addition to that, when I think the best feeling for any, I think any player will tell you this, is even more than a great home win, when you go on the road and you can completely shut down the other team's crowd. And at the end of the game, when they're quiet and your crowd is going crazy, that's when you know you just kick somebody's ass. So that's the best feeling in the world. You know, I encourage any fans that can make it down to Memphis. You know, the team could definitely use you there. But absolutely, guys, if we win, I hope the fans greet the team at the airport.
You know, my last big memory of an airport game, the last time I actually, fun fact, the last time I went to an airport for an East Carolina victory was 2011 when we beat Navy because of the embarrassment in 2010. But the last one that a huge crowd showed up at that I was at was the Hawaii Bowl. There was probably about 300 to 400 of us there on Christmas Eve day in Kinston. The team was flying in and out of Kinston at that time. Yep. Christmas Eve day in Kinston as the team landed from Hawaii. And that was a lot of fun. Great memories of seeing the team come out with the Hawaii Bowl trophy, you know, talking to Skip Holtz, you know. So it's not only great for the players, it's great for the fans. It's a great experience. You will remember that. If we can win this Saturday in Memphis to get win number 6, you will remember your trip to the airport to welcome these guys back. It'll be a great moment, not only for the fan, for the players, but for the fans that are there.
To answer your question, Dave, as far as Keaton Mitchell, he is 98 yards away. According to ECUPirates.com, he has 902 yards.
Wow.
As he seeks to become the first 1,000-yard rusher since Ventavious Cooper back in 2013.
That's what I was getting ready. That was my
– I did not realize
that was my next – Bubba, that was my – nor did I, Kyle, but that was my next question. I thought it was Coop was the last 1,000-yard rusher,
yeah.
But I wasn't 100% on that because Kyle's a running back guy, so – I yield my time to you, but let's go now to Bubba. I know we have more comments we'll do, but first you want to go to the comments from Ryan Jones?
Yeah, on Monday, tomorrow, you'll hear the thoughts of Ryan Jones. You'll hear from him firsthand and have a chance to ask him some questions about his record-setting performance, the first time that East Carolina has had 2 100-yard receiving tight ends in the same season since way back in 1990. Of course, Shane Calhoun had that 8-reception game for over 100 yards up at Marshall. And yesterday, Ryan finished, I think it was 102 yards. And let's hear those comments right now from East Carolina tight end, Oklahoma transfer, Ryan Jones.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I've been to bowl games, but I've never won one. So definitely going to one this year and winning one is a big check mark off my list I'm trying to have.
Ryan, did you know going into this game you'd be a focal point, or did it just kind of play out like that?
Honestly, it just kind of played out. I mean, I worked my tail off this week in practice. And I mean, in practice, everything just happened to work out today. So
how about you on that third one?
Yeah, honestly, I was mad on the replay watching it because I really thought I got in, but yeah, it was that one was tough. That one was tough.
You're almost like a wide receiver playing tight end.
Mm-hmm.
And talk about your flexibility and your ability to kind of get on the outside and do damage there too.
I say I'm very versatile because I mean in high school I played mainly receiver, so I still have some of those tendencies and everything, even with gain weight, that is more so help with like my strength. But I still can, I'm pretty mobile.
You were a linebacker at Oklahoma, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What precipitated the change to tight end, and how quickly did you pick up all the things you had to do?
Really, I would say it was just my passion for football is more so offense. So I felt after I graduated, coming closer to home to be around my family, and switching back to offensive side of ball would help me out.
Was that your idea, or is the coaching staff kind of gave you that idea before you came here?
That was more so my idea, like once I entered the transfer portal.
What's been the toughest part about going back and playing offense?
It would definitely be getting used to blocking. Because, I mean, playing defense, you're used to getting off of blocks. So switching back over has been something I had to work on. So.
Do you feel like you know more about playing offense now that you know how a defensive player thinks?
Yeah, I mean, definitely from playing defense for about three and a half years, just knowing where certain guys are going to drop, their depth and tendencies of the defense, that's helping me like find spacing on certain routes and things like that.
Anybody else?
What is that feeling like getting the touchdown in Dowdy Pickens Stadium?
It definitely was good. I mean, I had my family coming today, so I mean, my niece, this is the first football game she's ever been to, so having a game like tonight has been fun.
Ryan, you scored tonight. Shane scored tonight. Yeah. I mean, Aaron Jarman, all those players in the run game. Coach said it was only a matter of time before this tight end group was about ready to explode. Just talk about how special this tight end group
is. Yeah, I mean, our room, I want to say we're super dynamic from blocking to catching to yards after the catch. So, I mean, we have a great room. We all treat each other on. So, it's just been a blessing being here and playing with these guys. So.
All right, comments of – obviously a transfer from Oklahoma, a guy that played a lot of great football in Charlotte. Great to have him as a Pirate, guys. Ryan Jones, of course, a part of our TSO locker room. You can hear that, as Bubba said, and that's, of course, every Monday. And we've been talking about it here. Guys, as you know, they was kind of a breakout game. We felt very strong and very close to a third touchdown yesterday. I know he's talking about there in the post-game comments. I heard him say it live about he was upset about that. But over 100 yards, two touchdowns. He's a guy that he's one of those guys, just like with Josiah Hatfield is another one for the wide receiver. We've got a lot of playmakers, and get the ball to the playmakers and they'll make plays. And that's exactly what we did yesterday. And Matt, I was so happy for Ryan. How about you?
He played great yesterday. And, you know, I thought he had that third touchdown as well. When you did go back and look at it, his foot just touched the line, touched the white line. So he was about a half yard short on that, unfortunately, but he played a great game. What I really liked to see was the one completion down the field. Ryan ran a quick slant, and Holton, that was one of those plays where he was able to step into the pocket and deliver a strike in stride, and he was able to get in the open field and kind of flash the speed and bulldoze a few guys that were in his way too. So that was nice to see. You could just sense that he's becoming more and more comfortable on the offensive side of the ball.
No doubt. Kyle, he's one of those guys we've heard in the preseason, we heard summertime, that watch out for number 13, Ryan Jones. This man, he's really, really coming on strong, and that will bode well for us, especially the next 3 weeks.
You've seen flashes throughout the year of what he could be. We've talked to him about it on the show, that you just keep waiting for that breakout game, and it was this past Saturday. Huge game for Ryan, and you know, I hope he keeps it up. He's very dynamic. Like one of the reporters said, at times he's almost like a wide receiver playing tight end. I proud of him. Super nice guy too. He really well spoken, super respectful, as we've had him on here. So glad to see him having success, and glad he's part of the football team. I think he'll only keep improving, and hopefully have another big game against Memphis. I wanted to mention Eric Jarman. He got mentioned a couple times. He's been blocking well for us, playing his former team, Temple. You know, it just cracks me up still every time I think about Jarman being an North Lenoir kid right up here the road in Wheat Swamp, North Carolina, between LaGrange and Kinston, very near me. And my wife's high school, she went to North Lenoir. And the fact that kid grew up going to Pirate games, was a Division I player that was being recruited by multiple Division I schools. And Scotty Montgomery, when we didn't even have anybody in the tight end room, didn't offer that kid a scholarship, and he went to Temple. It just cracks me up. So I'm glad to see Jarman getting on the field, doing a lot of nice things in the running game, run blocking. But it just cracks me up that Montgomery didn't offer that kid a scholarship. But thankfully, he got to be a Pirate, transferring from Temple back home. And I just wanted to give him a shout-out.
No doubt about it. Very underrated position on the football field. Tight end is so important. And Montgomery had none whatsoever. He could care less. You know, we put Jeremy Lewis over there just to say we had a tight end.
Well, I just don't know how you have a legitimate Division I tight end in your own backyard that is a Pirate, that wants to be a Pirate.
Yeah, he wanted to be here.
I mean, that's just beyond comprehension to me.
No doubt. And definitely a great high school player. And these local kids in the 252, Matt, we always talk about the pipeline in New Jersey, but there's a lot of 252 kids that I think that we're finally starting to. Another thing, too, it helps winning. You know, a lot of these 252 kids, why would you go to East Carolina? You're only winning like three football games a year. So in fairness to them, they're going to go where they can win and play for, you know, a bowl legitimately, and maybe play for, who knows, a big bowl or a chance for a national championship. But this particular case, a great kid, and no doubt glad to have him with us now, even if he transferred back.
Are you referring to kids that have been leaving Eastern North Carolina to go to Georgia? When you say a chance to play for a national championship, you're not talking about anybody going to North Carolina or NC State?
No. Okay. I was talking about Todd. Yeah. I know. I have. When they had literally, I'm not going to go on that tangent. I can go on, but the college football playoff one day will, maybe by the time I'm a senior citizen, maybe in the next. They're so far behind. They give the customers what they want. The fans want a real playoff, and you know, when you have Todd Gurley, he's Tarboro High School, 30 some minutes away from Greenville, North Carolina. You know why he didn't stay? because he could play for a national championship.
Well, to be fair, he didn't go to North Carolina or NC State either.
No, he didn't. But I'm just saying that I'm talking about a kid that would have stayed if we were winning, but also the fact that if we had a legitimate shot to play for the national championship. And one of these days, the people, you know, there's people like Alabama and the people in the college football playoff that are bigger than the sport, and they need to understand that the sport is bigger than them and that we need to grow the sport. And the only way we grow the sport is for them to get out of the way and have a real playoff.
Well, one thing I don't understand, and I never will understand, as we're talking about big picture playoff stuff, is you're watching ESPN and you're watching the Cincinnati game to hear any of their announcers, like one of their color analysts was defending the playoff and Cincinnati not being in the top four. I don't understand why, when you have the rights to a product, when you own the product, so to speak, you have American rights, television rights, you have rights to the Sun Belt, the MAC, you have some rights to the Mountain West, mm-hmm. and some rights to Conference USA. Mm-hmm. Why would you denigrate the products? Why exactly. would you own a product and then put it down? It literally is a piss poor business decision. Disney, if you want to know why you're losing money, it may be because your brass there at ESPN is putting down product that they own the rights to. You would think you want to elevate it, talk mm-hmm. well of it, saying, "Hey, Cincinnati is just as good as these other schools," because you're paying to air American football, and worldwide ESPN. The more you elevate American Conference football or Sun Belt Conference football or MAC Conference football and speak well of it and put it on the same level as the SEC and the Big Ten and so on, the more people are going to watch it. That's more advertisement dollars for you, you idiots.
Yeah. You know what's really interesting, guys? When you look at March Madness over the years, let me ask you, what is it about March Madness that brings in so many fans? What makes it so exciting?
The ability teams. For upsets. Anybody, you know, you can have have Western Carolina beat Kansas.
Exactly. And that's what's so ironic about college football. It really is the most un-American game on the planet. I mean, what other sport tries to keep Cinderella down? And they really do. It's almost like the good old boy club in college football tries to keep the underdog down. And it really is unfortunate. Now, you know, whether Cincinnati is in the top four, whether or not they're actually a top four team, I don't know. They might be. I have no idea. Do they deserve an opportunity right now to be in a top four? Yes, they do.
Well, Matt, here's the thing. To be honest with you, this year, outside of Georgia, I think everybody in the top 10 is equal. Mm-hmm. Outside of Georgia. I don't see I'm being honest when I say this. Alabama to Cincinnati, the gap is not as big as it used to be.
No. This
year,
Alabama's not as good this year.
You know, Michigan yeah. State looked like world beaters, then Purdue blew them out. I mean, outside of Georgia, I think Georgia's leaps and bounds above everybody. But yeah. outside of Georgia, I think Cincinnati, Oregon, Alabama, Michigan State, Michigan, you know, Ohio State, Oklahoma, I don't think there's a huge difference. I really don't. I think any of those teams can be in the top four and beat each other. I think at the end of the day, Georgia's going to beat the crap out of all of them. But just to note, Cincinnati should have beat Georgia last year in the Peach Bowl. Mm-hmm. They had them beat and blew it.
Yeah, sure.
So, yeah, I think Cincinnati, particularly this year, they've beaten Notre Dame. Has Notre Dame lost Indiana. Another game? Are they one or two losses?
One loss,
yeah.
So the only game Notre Dame's lost is to Cincinnati. Hey, yep. Normally you'd have Notre Dame up in the top five with one loss, but they can't do that right now because you notice that, guys? You notice one loss Notre Dame into the top five on the UCR?
Earlier today when I saw Notre Dame at 10th.
Yeah, oh, they're going to make sure they don't elevate them to make Cincinnati look too good. So, I hopefully Notre Dame can keep I personally hope Cincinnati don't make the playoffs because we beat them. But if they beat us, hopefully they find their way into the playoffs and whatever happens, happens.
Yep.
To be honest with you, I think Georgia, if Cincinnati's the four, I think Georgia's going to beat them. If Alabama's the four, I think Georgia's going to beat them. If Oklahoma's the four, I think Georgia's going to beat them. I don't really think it matters who the four seed is. So are you telling me Cincinnati can't lose to Georgia just as well as Oklahoma?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly, Kyle. And you make a great point. Georgia's going to, I mean, unless we still have to play the game.
As it looks today, Georgia looks heads and shoulders above everybody else.
Yeah. Their defense now, this is one of the best college football defenses I've ever seen. And I'm being sincere. I'm not trying to overhype them. Their offense has struggled at times, but their defense has played so well, they don't have to put up video game numbers.
They really are very impressive. And, I totally agree with you, Kyle. I think once you get past Georgia this year, there is a drop-off and there's a lot of parity. And you know, you just kind of made me think of the SEC a little bit. I really don't think the SEC is that powerful this year once you get past Georgia and Alabama. There's a lot of examples of this. If you look at their non-conference, you know, Liberty played Ole Miss pretty tight yesterday. Yeah. You know, Auburn goes up to a mediocre Penn State team and gets beat up on. A lot of examples.
Beat South Carolina, who just beat the snot out of Florida.
Exactly. Yeah. That's a perfect example. I mean, that came out of nowhere. Who in the world would have predicted that?
Bubba.
Especially at that margin.
Bubba.
Yeah, but there's just a lot of examples.
I would not have predicted the margin by any stretch of the imagination, but I did think that it was possible, and the reason being with the game in Columbia, Florida was coming off the game against Georgia.
And really
struggling. So I thought that if South Carolina was going to win, I would have thought it would have been, 17-14, 20-13, something like that. Never 40-17.
Yeah, but you did mention it to me last week that we were talking about South Carolina gets to a bowl.
And you said, right.
Said, well, you know, I think they could beat Florida this week for everything. You implied that there was a chance, and you might have been the only human being that did. So,
well, I tell you one thing, and Bubba's on to something because we'll get to Elijah Morris, his post game audio comments in just a second, but. The fact that Dan Mullen is fighting for his job, he's fighting for his career right now in Florida and Gainesville, they can't stand him. And I don't know how much of that is the players. If they're not playing for him, they can't stand him. But I can tell you, Florida fans are living in the past. I'm just being honest. They're living in the past. They are not one of the best teams. But in their minds, they think they're one of the best teams as far as programs in the SEC. And I'm not saying they're not capable, and they have a lot more money than East Carolina, but they need a reality check of where they are and that Dan Mullen is a great coach. And, you know, I don't know the whole recruiting comment he made. He would wait to talk about the recruiting after the season. He got blasted for that stuff that normally you wouldn't get blasted for. But right now that fan base, they're not happy at all with him.
Well, Dan will land on his feet. If they fire him, they'll have to buy him out, and he'll get another head coaching job. He's been too successful at multiple schools not to. So he'll land on his feet if they do fire him.
Yeah. Look no further than the job he did at Mississippi State. That is a tough job in the SEC. And that guy, beyond impressive. And he's done some good things at Florida. I think hopefully the Florida fan base, I know they're accustomed to being a top program and winning. Hopefully they can settle down a little bit and realize what they have in Dan Mullen, because this man can coach.
Here's another problem. You know how the fans and guys, I want to make this point. I almost forgot it. I was going to tell you guys when we talked about Florida. You take a fan base like Auburn. They fire a great coach just because they're who their brother is in the same state. Georgia's beating the crap out of Florida now, and they're getting tired of it because they think they're better than Georgia. I mean, Georgia is the best team in the country. It just so happens that probably your biggest rival is the best team in the country. And you're going to fire a great coach just because they're way better than you.
If Florida wants to fire Dan Mullen, they can fire Dan Mullen. I mean,
I know.
That's their decision. But I Dan Mullen, you know, he's a good coach. He'll land on his feet. You know, before we go to these final comments, we're talking about coaches on the hot seat. I wonder if Satterfield's going to survive up at Louisville.
Oh, yeah.
And if they terminate him, I could see Dan Mullen being the next head coach at Louisville if they both get fired. If Mullen don't want to sit, sometimes guys want to take a year off. But I could see that being a pretty good fit, actually.
You knew the changes were coming in Gainesville, and breaking news from Bruce Feldman. I've had it on the screen there for the last minute or so, but defense coordinator down at Florida, Todd Grantham, and then also the offensive line coach have been let go.
Well, that indicates that Mullen might not get fired. If he's making staff changes, potentially they're going to give him another year. You know, when you give up 40-some points to South Carolina, the way their offense has struggled, I'm not so sure your defense coordinator should be fired.
Yeah, right after a couple weeks ago at Texas A&M, I think last week South Carolina was open, but the last time they had played out at Texas A&M, I want to say, I don't know what they finished with. It was very misleading, even though it wasn't good. They piled up a decent number of yards there in the fourth quarter. But they are very late in the third quarter. South Carolina had something like 4 yards of offense.
And here's another thing, Florida fans. Guess what? They have a great coach in South Carolina, and he can recruit. Speaking of recruiting, and just wait till he gets his guys in there. So look how great – hey, guys, look how great Kentucky is. You want to feel the pressure if you're a Florida fan? Look at all the programs that used to dominate. Maybe with the only team you guys say thank God for Vanderbilt, they're horrible. But outside of Vandy and the SEC East, every other team is growing now. They're a lot better than they were. I mean, think about if we, from the time period we've been following SEC football and college football, those guys used to be just doormats, and now those programs are starting to really elevate their game.
Yeah, Kentucky's had some teams throughout the years. You know, we took on a decent Kentucky team in a bowl game.
Yep.
But here lately, yeah, Kentucky's been consistent. Tennessee's on their way back up.
There's another one, yeah.
Kentucky last night.
Yep.
So it'll be interesting to see. I you know, who knows how things are going to play out down in Gainesville. I'm more worried about what's going on in Greenville. But it's fun fodder anyway. And I'd be interested to see if Mullen keeps his job, and if he doesn't, who they're going to go after.
And, hey, guys, really quick, since you mentioned Kentucky, who has done a more impressive job building a program than Stoops? I mean, for what he's done there. First of all, they stuck with him.
Exactly.
They realized – They said nobody's going to come in here and just take Kentucky to the top of the SEC. It's not going to happen like that. They gave him time. They let him
develop 9 years,
his
right?
program. Has it been that long? Wow, I didn't even realize
9 years, that long. Something like that long.
Well, he's been winning for a few years now, so yeah, probably.
Yeah, I mean, what he's done there is really, really impressive. It almost reminds me of the job that Mangino did at Kansas there for a few years. Yeah. I love that guy. He was great for a few years. Then he went off the deep end. But anyway, yeah. I digress.
All right, Bubba, I know that we want to get to Elijah Morris, his post-game comments. And thanks to all the viewers. And keep putting your comments up on Facebook and Twitter, obviously, and YouTube, because we'll put those up there as well. We got some bold predictions. We'll do that after Elijah Morris, right, Bubba?
Yeah, here a few minutes ago, we were talking about the large number of defensive personnel that we rotate in and out. Coach Houston has talked about that several times in his weekly press conferences, just the large amount of depth that we have now on this football team. And so has defensive coordinator Blake Carroll. And you hear from Elijah Morris, came as a walk-on, earned a scholarship, and continues to perform well on that defensive line.
It's just like what we talked about this offseason, just us growing together and a lot of us coming in together and just really getting a feel for each other and our tendencies, and that really showed tonight.
There's a ton of second-year guys, as your coach pointed out. How much changes for a player, and how much changes for you guys from that first year to the second year, and how much familiarity do you think there is with guys now knowing each other's tendencies and that kind of thing on this defense?
The familiar, me and a lot of my teammates who I came in with, you know, Ra, Keaton, Zay, Sered, all those guys, we all came in together. So, you know, we got a real tight bond, especially going through COVID and everything together. And then the way it's changed this year, we got a lot more experience. That year helped us really build and helped us to really figure out how to play college football and get a feel for it. So,
how bad do you guys want that shutout?
We wanted that goose egg. We wanted that one. Ooh, we wanted that one.
Still a pretty good effort, though. I mean, you got to be pretty proud of that.
I am. You couldn't ask for any more.
What's working well for this defense right now? You guys seem to be getting better every week. What's making the difference at the moment?
I think this is the way we practice. And we really, the coaches really get after us to practice real hard because, you know, we believe if we practice well during the week, you're going to play well. And it's been the case this whole year. So,
how much fun are you guys having right now? I mean, it seems like after every big play, are celebrating like crazy. Just how much fun is it?
Oh, it's a lot of fun because same thing in practice. When we do stuff in practice, we're still having fun. So yeah, we don't change when we get on the field, whether we're on the sideline after a play. It's just juice. That's what we call it.
You've been here 2 years. You know, before you got here, Temple really kind of took an ECU. Have some of the older guys told you about that, and what does it mean to kind of help turn this series around in ECU's favor?
I think it's a real big deal, especially with a lot of these older guys who have been here a long time and had to go through a lot of that. So to really, for a lot of these young guys and us being second-year players, to come in and start giving them out instead of taking them, you know, that you can't ask for any more than that.
Coach mentioned that the packages and things you guys take into a game are as much as he's ever had. He also mentioned that part of your success is because of the way you play, embracing the physicality, being real tough. So for you as a player, which is the tougher part or the more difficult part, handling the packages they give you or being physical enough and tough enough?
I think it's more the packages because we get a lot of different blitzes and packages that we got to install during the week and that we got to really mold out to make sure that, you know, sharpen up. That way we prepare for game day. But physicality-wise, you know, we're going to do that in practice every day after Sunday. We're going to do that every day, so.
Anyone else? Thanks a lot.
Every day after Sunday. All right, that's comments there from Elijah Morris. And very excited about, Matt, that defensive line. I mean, we're talking about guys that are growing up overnight. I mean, pretty much. I mean, when Pirate Al was talking, and he comes on our show too, but he was talking on Pirate Radio last night on the fifth quarter about how many guys we have, freshmen and sophomores. Just think about that. You know, last year it sucked when we were talking about COVID and all the personal stuff and professional stuff with restaurants and a whole bunch of stuff closing and all the stuff around Greenville. But it actually is going to be a blessing in disguise for us because we've got a lot of great talent that we get to have another year. But yet there's on the back end, when you have flip side of that is freshmen and sophomores like that. The D-line, we were hurting. Oh, my God. When Mike Houston came here, people don't know how bad this program was, that especially the casual fans. When it comes to depth, the D-line was one of the worst, right? So great to see that it's the flip side of that where we have one of the best positions on the field is D-line.
Yeah, no doubt. And Elijah played a heck of a game yesterday. I mean, he was in the backfield so many times making plays. It was great to see. And, you know, just really quick to your point about how bad the program was in, the first thing Mike Houston did was he addressed the D-line. That first year he brought in like I don't know the exact number, but maybe six or seven big bodies up front on the D-line. And now we're starting to see that pay dividends.
No doubt. Yeah, D-line's just getting better, and that's – That was a Scotty Montgomery did not do a good job of recruiting linemen on either side of the ball, and Houston understands that's how you build a program. You build it from the inside out, and you gotta have those big guys in the trenches if you're going to be successful at a high level. And we have them, and we have them, and we have many of them. We're playing a lot of defensive linemen, so you know, congratulations on the performance yesterday. And then another guys, am I out of my mind? Or did we almost shut them out and they didn't turn the ball over? Did we not force a turnover yesterday?
I don't remember one.
I don't think so.
How often does that happen? The defense holds a team to 0 points. Again, I credit the field goals to special teams. The defense holds a team to 0 points and you don't force a turnover. That's really unique.
Yeah, we had 3.5 quarters, 6:57 left on the clock. and I was hoping he would miss it, but to have the shutout. But hey, 3.5, we've had a lot of that. Guys, let's talk before we're going to wrap this thing up. B-Pays and Richard Osbrook, two of the finest Pirates out there, and they have some bull predictions. So let's talk about that, and then we'll promote some stuff and get out of here. So I know ECU bull predictions today, Athline, and I know that B-Pays had that as well, as it's going to the Military Bowl against Syracuse, CBS Sports, ECU versus Louisville, and the Fenway Bowl, ESPN2. The projections, ECU versus Florida Atlantic and Myrtle Beach Bowl, and ECU versus Syracuse in the Military Bowl. I'm just excited each week now, guys, as we get closer and closer, closer to that number six win. We're in the conversation of a bowl is nice, where before we're getting our butts kicked every week on the field.
Yeah, once we get number six, that's all I'll talk about. Until we get to number six, I'm still like, I want to talk about it, but I'm always scared to talk about it. But once we get number six, yeah, I'll be talking about all that. That'll be pretty much my whole dialogue. It'll be, all right, so which bowl game are we going to? This bowl game, that bowl game, blah, 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 blah. So hopefully that'll be a real discussion. Hopefully as we sit here next Sunday night, this will be not a hypothetical, but a real discussion that we will be talking, what bowl game are we going to and how good will that feel?
Well, I'll go ahead and tell you right now, go ahead if you have to take time off from work. If Bubba, have you taken off every single bowl that we could be potentially in?
He's a teacher, Dave.
I know he is.
Well, a bunch of those would fall during the holidays where I'd be out anyway, but.
No,
I certainly intend to be wherever the Pirates are playing, unless for some reason no projections have had us there, except maybe very, very early in the season. But unless we go to Hawaii, I'll be there.
Yeah, to be honest, these projections don't mean anything. I've seen bowl projections before, particularly this far out, and, wasn't even close to being right to the bowl we end up in. I'll say this, I've said it before, and I'll say it again. As somebody pointed out, it was either Bubba or Dave, I think it was Bubba. Ron Dowdy's daughter founded the Cure Bowl in Orlando. Now, I don't know who gets to pick first. I'm assuming – well, yeah, I do. I know the Military Bowl gets to pick first, and I'm assuming the Fenway Bowl gets to pick before the Cure. But the Myrtle Beach doesn't even have a direct tie to the American. It's an ESPN Bowl that we have access to through trades. It's supposed to be the Sun Belt versus the MAC this year, but the American can easily end up with a spot in Myrtle Beach. But I haven't seen anybody have us in the Cure Bowl. Would not be surprised if we end up in Orlando in the Cure Bowl if we're bowl eligible. But –
It depends on how many we win, though, right? I mean,
who else wins what? If your Eastern teams are East Carolina, UCF, and Cincy should be at least in a New Year's Six. But if your Eastern teams are East Carolina, UCF, and Memphis, two of them are going to go to Fenway and to Military, and then one of them is going to go probably to Boca or Orlando. So it'll be interesting to see who goes where, what the records are. You would think if we have seven or eight wins, if we have seven, eight wins, you can pretty much guarantee we're going to be in the Military Bowl.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
And even at six, we could end up in the Military Bowl. It just depends on what happens around us and who goes where.
That sounds good. Hey, whatever, as long – And B-Pay says we could still end third, and the AC Military will grab us first, especially when you know how many – think about this. When the ECU and NC State played, when they used to pick, like the two teams, they had more of a say, and now it's more of a, obviously ESPN conference tie-ins, all that stuff. Look at the crowd that created. That was two teams who had played each other in 4 or 5 years at the time. And look how many – an epic game. We go 11-1 on the year. They miss a field goal to try to tie it.
I do wonder if the Military Bowl, I obviously be interested in this because of proximity. But they're going to be interested in UCF too because the name brand. Also, I wonder if they take into account how late you played at Navy, because some people will make that trip up to Annapolis for the Navy game. And we play Navy, just a matter of a month before before the Military Bowl, which is played in Annapolis. It's not played in D.C. anymore. So
how many times, think about the times we've had to play, like, Matt, when we played Memphis. Speaking of Memphis in the Liberty Bowl, you played Memphis towards the end of the season. You had to come right back.
Yeah, but nobody's going to. Very few people are going to make a regular season trip to Memphis. But I'd be great with the Military Bowl. I'd be great with any bowl. Look, any bowl means we won six. So any bowl we go to, I will be ecstatic.
No doubt. And, guys, it's going to be great. We'll save that conversation for next week because we're going to win, and we'll be talking about the next week. Everybody go to the airport Saturday night. That's going to be rocking. It's going to be a loud place. That's the party. The party's at the airport, Pitt Greenville Airport. Go ahead, and some people may be tailgating out there, Matt, in the parking lot during the game. But before we go, we obviously want to tell people thank you to all our sponsors. Appreciate all of them. L&K Custom Homes, Kevin, K.K. Walker, one of the best Pirates to ever put on a spot. You're talking about a great athlete, guys, in his day. Man, in the 80s, he was one of the best. Appreciate him. And now he does a great job building homes. If you're looking to build a home, I know in that Triad area of Greensboro, High Point, Winston-Salem, he's all over there in that area. Give him a call, 336-688-8461. Or you can email him at kwalkerkev@aol.com. Thanks to L&K Custom Homes for their sponsorship, title sponsorship of the Pirate Football Playback and a reason to be celebrating. That guy knows about winning some football games. Kevin Walker does. And now he's winning there for sure. And for some reason, Pace thinks I love Sugar Ray. And they're going to be out there. And I'll be DJing playing Sugar Ray. He's going to be playing Biggie in the parking lot if EC wins. I'll play anything you want if EC wins. Sugar Ray. It's fun. Yeah.
Okay. Were you a big Sugar Ray fan back in the day, Dave?
I played them on radio, and I played them some at the club, but not. I'm more of a hard people who know me. I'm more hard rock or country, pretty much. So that's pretty much my two. But anyway, that I would do that. But anyway, I love music, and I'll play. Glad.
Look, I'll tell you what, Dave. If we do it this Saturday, if you bring your party speaker, I'll bring my party speaker, and we'll blast Getting Down in a Pirate Town. And Purple Absolutely. Haze, and you know, whatever other music is appropriate until the airport authorities tell us to shut it down.
That sounds good. Kyle from LaGrange, DJ Kyle, will be spinning on the ones and twos at the airport. Well, hey, we'll have a party, and we'll have a DJ battle between DJ guest DJ Kyle versus B Pays. He's bringing the turntables. He just put the comment up on Facebook.
He's going to bring the turntables. Well, you know what? It'll be the most interesting battle ever, as he's got the turntables and the old school hip hop, and I'm blasting Cody Jinks and Waylon Jennings. So that'll be quite interesting. Maybe we can make a mashup. We could, you know, forget Run DMC and Aerosmith. Maybe we can do a mashup with some Waylon and some Snoop.
That would be awesome.
Two outlaws.
That would be awesome, no doubt.
Hey, Waylon did a song with Willie. Or excuse me, Waylon did a song with Willie. No crap. Snoop did a song with Willie. Roll me up and smoke me when I die.
That's right. And that would be the best concert for some people to have Snoop and Willie Nelson together.
Snoop and Willie, that's a match made in heaven. Talk about two of the biggest potheads of all time. There you go.
He'll play some Johnny Cash and Snoop. Hey, B-Pays, we love you, man. Absolutely. There you go. We're going to be excited. Whatever you play will be great. Both of you will be winners to me. For participation trophies for Kyle and B-Pays, because I know it's going to be great. All the music sounds great. Food tastes better when you're winning. The weather doesn't really.
Last time I planned a celebration after a game, we lost to friggin' South Carolina, and I took my beer and my cooler and went home and left Dave standing in the parking lot. So I don't want to get too far ahead of myself this time.
All right, and let's go now before we wrap things up. Finally, appreciate all the viewers and comments tonight. Bubba, I know before we go that we got a lot of content coming up, and thanks to all the people again, our great sponsors and our great viewers and listeners too.
Yeah, tomorrow you'll be hearing from Jaira Wilson as well as Ryan Jones on TSO Locker Room. And then on Tuesday, the Pirates get things started on the hardwood as they will be taking on South Carolina State, 7 o'clock at Minji's, a game that will be on ESPN Plus. I'm very excited to see Vance Jackson and Winston Tabbs and the two high profile transfers, as well as some of those other newcomers that have such promise. I'm very excited to, we'll have Pirate Basketball Overtime for you on Tuesday night a little after 9 o'clock. And then on Thursday, we'll have our Pirate preview as we take a look at that Memphis game. And we'll hear from Renee and Golia. Renee was on the call yesterday for Memphis and SMU, so it was a natural time to have Renee back.
See what Renee thinks. See if he thinks we can pull the I keep saying upset, and I guess technically it is. But Renee's a great friend of the show and one of the best color analysts on ESPN. And by the way, speaking of color analysts, if you're watching that ESPN Plus broadcast, you know, we still encourage you to sync it up with the Pirate Sports IMG, Westwood One, blocka, 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 Varsity Sports Network, changes its name all the time, to hear Jeff Charles. But if you're listening to the ESPN Plus audio, Cy Seymour is now the color analyst on ESPN Plus for ECU home games, so you'll get to hear a familiar voice on the call.
Odell, can't wait to have him back on. And guys, one more thing. Oh, thank you, Pace. You'll do a great job. Enjoy every Sunday. We appreciate you very, very much. By the way, guys, very sad to learn that ESPN Classic going away. They're getting rid of that network. No more of the old games. I read that this week. I forgot to mention that.
Yeah, I got a feeling that's going to be part of ESPN Plus and the streaming service. More reason to try to get people on board would be my guess, Dave.
Yeah, but anyway, sad note there. But, you know, it is what it is, as they say. And go ahead, Bubba.
Dave, very quickly, while we're talking about ESPN Plus and some of the ESPN programming earlier today, I knew it was out there, but never took the time to watch. But Eli's Places, that's not a bad watch. It's highlighting college football. You know, it's talking about some of college football's traditions. College football's first game way back between Rutgers and Princeton back in the 1860s, and you know, some of the historical elements, but then it takes it from, you know, kind of a comedic approach. So it's pretty entertaining.
No doubt. He and Peyton do a great job. Monday Night Football. I love how they do that now. That Monday Night Football broadcast is one of these days they'll realize that's an event like it used to be and put it back on ABC like they should have it. But that's a whole nother show. As you say,
who does the Monday Night Football song now? Because they don't use Bud Zufus anymore. Who does it?
You know, I don't even know. I'm a fan of Sunday Night Football because Sunday Night Football has the better matchups, in my opinion. Sunday night is what Monday night used to be. I don't even watch Monday Night Football, sadly, and I'm a huge NFL fan, but I don't even watch it anymore because the matchups usually are not good, and I don't know who's going to win. Just like I'm not a fan of really Thursday night. Sunday night is the best broadcast when you had Al Michaels and Chris Collinsworth. I mean, you can't go wrong. That's just my opinion. But anyway, let's get out of here, guys. Matt, thank you so much, buddy. Appreciate you always for hanging in there with us from the great state of Connecticut. Kyle Barber from the great county, Lenoir County in North Carolina.
I'm in Greene County, technically, though.
Well, yeah, Greene from LaGrange. How about Bubba Rosenbaum for China Grove? We appreciate you, man. Good night to you. Appreciate you, all your hard work. Thanks again to all our viewers. Thanks again to all our great sponsors as well. Until next time, we'll see you Tuesday night, actually tomorrow night, for our TSL Locker Room. I'm Dave Richmond. For all the guys here, appreciate you. Good night, everybody. Go Pirates!